1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Now, you're a middle school teacher, and I know I have an 11-year-old daughter, Ms. Binga. I don't really see my daughter at her age dressing inappropriately, but these kids at your school and other schools, girls are dressing inappropriately. Correct?
This is an ongoing problem, Mr. Henry. The parents don't take control. And so we are forced to endure this in our school. And I see these young women coming into our class, and they are wearing low hip huggers or push-up brassieres or belly tops that show the midriff. And these are 12-year-old girls that are showing their midriff. They're wearing heels. 12-year-old girls.
Wearing high heels.
The problem, yes.
Now, as a result of this, you've had discipline problems with the boys?
Yes, the problem is the boys react to this provocative clothing. The clothing is clearly sexual. The boys find themselves pinching the girls and touching the girls. And young men and women are acting inappropriately. So we have to endure this. And it is something that not only our school is enduring, that all schools are enduring.
All right, we're talking with Claire Bingham. She's a middle school teacher from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower. Your school, though, is a private school, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, so why can't you tell the parents of these girls who are wearing, midriff, bearing clothes and tight pants and all this stuff, why don't you tell them they're not allowed to wear this or they're kicked out of school?
We have considered that, Mr. Henry, but as a private school, one of the problems that we face and that all private schools face is that the only way we maintain our school is by funding from parents. It is it's a little hypocritical to ask for money from the parents and then to tell the children what to wear. So right now, we are in a fundraising drive, and the monies are critical. We are absolutely disgusted by what these children are doing, but we also have a financial goal to achieve, and it is something that I have personally been looking forward to.
What is the financial? So you have a financial need in your parish that is outweighing these girls wearing inappropriate clothing?
At the present time, yes. And we have 6 months to raise money for a sabbatical that is very important personally to me and to Pastor Rennick, who is our spiritual leader. And I want to say, Phil, that he has asked me to be his wife. So in 6 months, we will be married and we will take our church sabbatical. We are taking two of our deacons and their wives. We will be making our sabbatical to the Holy Land. We are very blessed. But at the same time, we are troubled at the money being raised for us is money we are getting from families who cannot control their children. So it is a dichotomy, and one that is troubling to us.
We're talking with Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Congregation. The kids are wearing inappropriate clothing, but you can't ask them to stop wearing the inappropriate clothing because their parents are donating money to your sabbatical missionary fund.
At the present time, yes.
Well, what? How long do you have to deal with this?
We are asking all of our parents who are upset by the clothing to pray to God for the patience. This will last no more than 6 months, and at that time, Pastor Rennick and I will be taking our sabbatical to the Holy Land. This is a very important time for our pastor, who is our spiritual leader. He has spent a lifetime wanting to travel to the Holy Land, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and of Moses and Abraham. And so we appreciate parents exercising control over the clothing of the children. But for their $100 donation to our sabbatical fund, we really can't say anything to these parents about this.
All right. Now, not every parent is donating money, correct?
Not everyone is, no.
And my understanding is they're the ones that have been complaining about the inappropriate clothing?
That is correct, yes.
All right. What do you tell those parents?
We are asking those parents to ask God for the patience. We are asking those parents to ask God to have the patience and to find it within their own hearts to donate to our sabbatical fund so that they too will at least feel as if they are contributing to something that is going to be a wonderful experience for myself, for Pastor Rennick, for our deacons, and that the most important part of this trip is that we will come back and share our slides and photographs and our stories of walking in the Holy Land.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Clara Bingham. These parents who have to endure their children being inappropriately dressed, you're saying, are not donating money to your sabbatical?
They are. At this present time, no.
So if you want your kid to dress the way she wants to dress, then she wants to, then you give $100?
We are allowing that, yeah.
What about the parents whose kids are not? The parents who are not donating money, what about their kids?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil.
All right, I'm a little confused here. You've got parents that are giving money, correct?
That is correct.
All right. These parents, their children are allowed to dress the way they want to dress.
We are asking other parents to have patience.
Well, just to answer my question, the parents that are giving money, their children are allowed to dress the way they want to dress.
That is correct.
All right. What about the parents who are not giving money?
Then we do have to ask those children to wear a uniform of some kind.
Why?
Because it would not make any sense, Phil, for us to take donations from parents without giving them something for it. So in taking the donations from these parents, we are giving them the opportunity to have their children dress the way they want to dress.
Even though it's sexually provocative, even though it is sexually inappropriate.
That is a trade-off that we feel badly about, and we prayed over this. And we talked about this, myself and Pastor Rennick, and we decided that the 6 months of inappropriate and sexual clothing is worth our trip to the Holy Land so we can come back with slides and photographs and share this with our congregation.
It may be okay with you, but you have parents who don't like their kids going to school with other kids that are wearing midriff-bearing clothing, tight pants. They're wearing heels, you said. They're wearing mini skirts. You mentioned in one of the faxes that we saw, in one of the news stories, some of these girls are going to school without any underwear on. How do you know that?
Because some of the teachers have seen this.
All right. So those kids won't be chastised or reprimanded because their parents are giving money.
That, unfortunately, Phil, is the situation. That is correct. We want people to help us with our financial goal.
Well, look, if I give you $100... That means my kid gets to go to school dressed like she's a whore, excuse my language. You're not going to get my $100.
I certainly understand that.
And that's okay with you?
I certainly understand that. We are giving parents the option. You can certainly contribute to our fund, which is our sabbatical ministry fund, but we certainly understand if you do not want to.
But if you do, your kid can dress like a whore.
I think that is the wrong characterization. I think these children are dressing in ways that are sexually provocative. Some of the boys are removing their clothing in the bathroom, this kind of thing, as a joke. We have to endure this, at least for the next 6 months, at which time, when we do our trip to the Holy Land, we can then institute some other restrictions.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Here is Patricia on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello. I just have to say that this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard. With all due respect, Miss Claire, for your love of Jesus and you wanting to go in the Holy Land, let's just say what it is. You want your honeymoon paid for and then the kids will be restricted with what they can wear. You are talking out of both sides of your mouth.
This is not unusual to have free dress day in exchange for a donation from the children.
Free dress day is one thing, but you've
exactly.
got kids.
Jeans, I can understand. Let them wear jeans one day. Let them wear sneakers. But to dress in a provocative manner in what is obviously a Christian school, just so you can have money to go on your trip, is a hypocrite. I think
we are going
to God
to
guide
back,
you.
We are praying to God to give us the patience to endure what is obviously sexually inappropriate clothing.
Listen, since you started talking, I've been praying to God to give me the patience to listen to you. I think you need to take a good hard look at what you're doing. You want your honeymoon paid for.
You know,
congratulations on marrying your spiritual leader. However, you're doing it at the cost of the children's self-esteem.
You know, I will
pray for you. It's okay
for
them to look like that as long as they're contributing. If I was a parent in that school, I would purposefully not contribute and dare you to say something to my child coming in. So you would attack my child?
I agree with you, Patricia. I do not like the sexually provocative clothing.
But it's okay as long as they pay for it.
I despise it. But we are taking a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land with two
left deacons. Well, good for you, but what are you doing to the children you're leaving behind? What are they going to get out of it, the slides? You think that's going to teach them to lead a chaste, abstinent life?
We are bringing back photographs of the Holy Land where Abraham, Moses, and Jesus walked. Pastor Rennick will give a speech.
You are so funny, Miss Claire. I just can't even believe
what
I'm hearing.
Well, let me jump in here. Miss Bingham, you realize the insanity of this.
Phil, I am not disagreeing with you or this lady. I am saying it is something we have to endure, yes. And it is something
So you can go on your honeymoon. That is not, unbelievable.
This is a sabbatical. This is a ministerial and missionary sabbatical. This is not a honeymoon.
Well, wait a minute. You're marrying him in 6 months, and then you guys told me you're winging, and I have the itinerary here. You're winging to Frankfurt. Then a car will pick you up in Tel Aviv. You're staying where?
We are staying at the Doubletree in Tel Aviv.
At the Doubletree Hotel in Tel Aviv.
Is that where Jesus stayed?
Well, you know, you can laugh if you want to. That's fine.
Oh, I can. And you know what? I can't wait to share this with everybody because this has got to be the most hilarious thing. Now, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I can promise
that I have my own issues with money and the church. That explains
a lot. But this has got
mm-hmm.
to take the case.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that explains a lot. You said you're Catholic. So now I understand why you do not understand the ministry of Jesus as we do.
And so that, you're a Christian that criticizes other Christians for their beliefs.
Well, the Catholic Church is a papist church which does not adhere to the teachings of Jesus. It adheres to the teachings of the Pope.
All right, let me tell you one thing. I don't care who's teaching who. You are not going to walk into a Catholic school and see any midriffs bared or any provocative clothes during school hours. That much I can promise you.
Mr. Henry, I can tell you that Catholic schools do have free dress day, and they do charge the children for that.
Well, now, hold on. My daughter goes to a Catholic school, 50 cents, and they get to wear their jeans and their sweatshirt. That's one thing. Wearing 3-inch heels, no underwear, or thong underwear, that's something else.
I totally agree. I do not disagree.
You do not disagree, but you're going to endure it so that you and Pastor Rennick can fly American Airlines to Frankfurt.
Mr. Henry, if you want to mock my religion, that is fine. Jesus said...
Listen, we're not mocking your religion. I can tell you what I'm mocking is your very human behavior of wanting a trip and paying whatever price you need to.
And we have a financial goal. We will endure it.
And you mentioned that girls are there in a state of undress in the bathroom with boys.
That is understood. Absolutely. And we are absolutely shocked by that. We have talked to the parents about it.
Talk to the parents? Kick the kids out of school until they come back with something decent on. What does it mean? It means you don't get donations?
I'd like to ask the lady, does your child go to a private school?
No, they do not. They go to public school.
All right. You don't understand the reality of private school. We depend upon the funding and donation of parents.
The first thing you're not going to tell me is what I do and do not understand.
Well, you don't understand.
What I am telling you is what I see
and what I hear is
someone who is mercenary,
and,
who wants their money no matter what the cost
is. You don't understand the reality of being African-American.
Many of the people here. You know what? Let me tell you something, lady. I'm going to end this conversation because I'm done. But I'll tell you what. I was the minority in my school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an African-American school my entire school career.
To the white woman, she doesn't understand what I'm saying now.
No, the lady is saying she went to a school full of African-Americans.
Full of African-Americans. Let me tell you something.
There's not one walk of life that I can't get along with because I went to a melting pot school, which my parents did purposely.
Your school is loaded down with blacks, is that it? Like
no,
a bunch of monkey
that's
in a barrel?
That's not what I said. I said I was the minority. How is that any different from you saying that I don't understand what it is to be African American?
So you're white, so you're not a minority.
And all right, this is getting nowhere.
This is really getting out of control.
But
listen,
I will
all
say
I
that
to
the
say
only
so,
way
and then
they
I will
get funding is to allow our children not to wear underwear to school.
All right. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you.
I hope Jesus helps you.
1-800-449-8686. On the line with me is Clara Bingham. Now, you know, I understand the reality of private schools. Private schools rely on funding from parents. But is it right for a private school to take money from parents in exchange for allowing their kids, especially their daughters, to go to school in sexually provocative clothing? We're talking about tight mini skirts with no underwear, midriff-bearing shirts, push-up brassieres, all kinds of stuff. Now, this lady is at Joyful Union Congregation, which is a private Christian school in Bellflower. They're allowing it in exchange for $100 donations from the parents, which will be used for what I understand to be a missionary sabbatical for Ms. Bingham and her new husband, the pastor of the school. The parents that don't donate money, their kids have to come to school in a uniform. It doesn't sound fair. It doesn't sound right. Number 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Is it right for private schools to give, to ask for donations and then give in return questionable benefits to the students? One of the things we talk about is free dress day. Many of you who may not have children in private school may not know that many private schools will charge kids a certain amount of money and allow them to wear what they call free dress. In the instance of Joyful Union Middle School in Bellflower, California, the parents, for a $100 donation, their children are allowed to wear free dress. But in many families are complaining about the free dress. Thong underwear?
Mr. Hendry, that is thong underwear that is worn under the clothing.
Yeah, but the thong underwear that I'm referring to was one girl had on thong underwear and apparently gym shorts pulled halfway down her rear end. Is that correct?
The fact is she was wearing underwear, and so she was covered.
She's wearing thong underwear with gym shorts halfway down her rear end. Now, the other question I got for you, the money goes into a fund that is used by yourself and your Pastor Rennick, is his name?
Pastor William Rennick is our spiritual leader, and he is, as well, my future husband. And we will be taking a sabbatical, a missionary sabbatical, to the middle, to the Holy Land.
All right, now, you know, that's a honeymoon, isn't it?
No, this is not a honeymoon, Mr. Hendry. This is, we are taking two deacons from the church. We are going to be spending as little time as possible in the hotel. We will be going out to the Holy Land areas, Bethlehem and whatnot.
Well, you're at the DoubleTree in Tel Aviv. There have been 3 in-room massages booked. Am I correct about that?
That is part of the gift of our congregation to Pastor Rennick and I to celebrate the bands of our matrimony before Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And
all right, 3 in-room massages. I also see here that you guys have booked a day trip to a winery in Italy?
That is correct. And let me tell you, the Roman Empire was in power at the time that our blessed Lord walked this earth. The Roman Empire was located in Rome. That is Italy. And so, yes, we will visit some wineries that are along the Appian Way, which was the main route of Roman legions that traveled to Gaul and into the Holy Land, to Palestine.
All right. And then after the trip to the winery, 3 nights on Ibiza, which is an island off the coast of France.
That is correct, because there is a church there. You see, you take all of this out of context. We have a church there that we are doing missionary work at.
Well, Ibiza, I know Ibiza. That's a party island. That's where people go in the summertime to drink and party.
And they do have a church there.
You'll be going in August.
That is correct. Oh, so that means we're going to get drunk and everything like that? I think that is the wrong reading on this. We are asking for the patience of our parents in our school. If they see a child, a young woman who wearing thong underwear or has her top pulled down, you can see some nipple or whatever. We are asking these parents to please have the patience and understand. 6 months and we are on our flight, American Airlines, Frankfurt, Germany. We will from there go to Tel Aviv. We'll spend 3 days and 3 nights at the DoubleTree in Tel Aviv. And that is all we have to wait for. Then we're back to normal.
So as soon as you get enough money for this trip, then you're going to enforce a stricter dress code?
That is my understanding, yes.
Your understanding, or that's the case?
I have to talk to the pastor. I don't know. I do not know at this time.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. There's the story. Hang on the line. I know we got a lot of people hanging. We'll get back to your calls, but now you've got pretty much the story that has got me and many people confused. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Show
1-800-449-8686. So for $100, Ms. Bingham, contribution to your school, the girls going to the school can wear anything.
Unfortunately, Mr. Hendry, that is the case. Yes, we are trying to raise the money for Pastor Rennick and I to go on our missionary sabbatical and to celebrate our marriage. I think there is an upside to celebrate our marriage in the name of Jesus.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Betty, go ahead. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. You're on with Clara Bingham of Joyful Union Middle School.
Yes, good morning, Phil. I've been listening to the program, and I am dismayed and flabbergasted for this lady's declarations. First of all, if you're truly a Christian, you have to abide by the rules and establish, first of all, the dress code in your school.
Well, we do.
Otherwise, excuse me, let me finish. You're going to listen to me, and then you're going to answer. Otherwise, the students will not be admitted if they do not follow the dress code, okay? Even when your trip is wonderful, I would love to have a honeymoon like that.
It's not a honeymoon. It's a missionary sabbatical.
Forget the sabbatical for a moment, okay? It's wonderful that you're using these people to finance it. You and your boyfriend or your fiancé are acting like the merchants that Jesus threw away from the temple because they were using...
Excuse me. Phil, please tell her to listen.
All right, we'd like the lady to be able to say...
But Pastor Rennick is here.
Oh, we can bring Pastor Rennick on.
To listen.
But listen to what Betty has to say.
Okay. I have to add that you and
we
your
are walking in the Savior's footsteps.
All right, let the lady finish.
Excuse me.
I'd like to say something, Philip.
Hold on. I want to hear what Betty has to say, Pastor. Then you can come on. Go ahead, Betty.
Jesus threw away the people from the temple because they were using the house of God to merchant their goods for their own benefit. That is exactly what you two are doing. I went, by the way, let me give you a little credential here. I went to private Catholic school my whole life, and I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
okay?
Let me continue.
My parents helped the church in every way they could, but they never compromised the name of Jesus to do what you're doing. Number two, I am a born-again Christian since 1993,
I am.
And you know, first of all, it is a shame that you are using the congregation for your honeymoon. It's for your own benefit. And you and your husband will have to respond the day of the judgment because
Betty.
You have a lot of people.
Betty, I agree with you. Pastor Rennick, do you have anything to say to this?
That I understand what the young lady is concerned about. We are on our way to the Holy Land. Now, this is where my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hung from the cross.
You can go to the Holy Land if you want to, if you pay for it. If you pay for it, but not pretend to compromise the name of Jesus.
This is a
to
gift.
Have those,
this is a
to
gift
have...
given to me from the congregation of a Joyful Union, from my congregation to me.
Really?
Because...
And what about why then you don't put a rule that if a girl comes with an inappropriate dressing, with a sexually tempting or provocative manner, you are going to throw them out of school
No, you're not going to do it because the parents are giving money. I would love to throw them out of school, but these young ladies,
they are afraid. It's not that you would love to do it. You're afraid that
no,
they're going to lose your ticket.
You can't talk to my fiancé like that. You're a hoochie mama from Miami trying to tell me...
Wait, whoa. What do you mean, hoochie mama from Miami?
Well, is she a Catholic trying to tell a Christian what's up? I don't like that. Let me say this. Betty, I understand your concern for our children. I'm concerned for our children as well.
Yes, you're showing
I pray every
it.
Day.
A very, very funny way of showing it, Pastor.
No, ma'am.
It's
I pray every day those girls won't show up to school wearing the thong underwear.
I only hope that the Assemblies of God are listening to this because you are going to penalize both of you. The least that can happen is I'm going to close the school and both of you are going to be probably taken to court because what you're doing is totally immoral.
All right, thank you very much, Betty.
I think she's wrong.
All right, thank you, Betty. 1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead.
I know there's no thinking about it. You got your priorities mixed up. You're using the children as pawns for personal gain. That's all you're doing.
It does not matter. Jesus Christ.
It does not matter where your little trip is going to lead you to. It does not matter anything. You could get the whole student body involved by having a dress code that's not... If I bring you $100, my child can come to school any way they want. And if I don't give you $100, then you're going to send them home.
Well, how else are you supposed to do it?
Just so that you can go on your little trip, wherever it might be, for whatever cause it might be, you need to come up and get the whole student body involved and buy a bunch of computers, and then you can all take your little trip together in each classroom and get all the children involved, and you can teach them all about all different parts of the world.
We are going to come back with slides and color photographs and give a presentation.
You can see all that on a computer. All you need to do is get a dress code and treat everyone fairly, and you need to get the whole student involved. And you can take them on your little trip if you take them on the computer, you know. Have you ever been on a computer? Do you know what a computer is?
I'm talking about a 3D slideshow. And we're going to serve, refreshments and everything. And
if you don't get to go on your little trip, are you going to throw a little temper tantrum and quit your job?
No, we have got 7 days in Amsterdam. You want me to give that up? Because you don't like the fact some little girl wearing thong underwear? Oh, come on!
Are you going to send a little girl home because she is wearing inappropriate clothing just because her mama didn't send you $100? If you go around and you ask for money for computers, I'll bet you would have everybody donating, and if you would have the whole student body involved trying to raise you.
You know what I think you're
But if you want to take a little trip for your own personal gain, there's no way, no way that you're going to raise a dime.
Look at here. I think your problem is you ain't got the C-note, do you? And you upset that if I asked you for $100, you wouldn't have no C-note.
If you was raising money for computers, I will bring you personally $100. And you know what? If you tell me the next person that is going to bring you $100 so that their child can wear whatever they want to wear in school, I'll take them $200 so they don't give it to you.
Well, I don't understand your mathematics.
I'm trying to say that you're trying to use these kids as pawn for your own personal gain, and that is immoral and it's incorrect.
Right. What is
and
that?
You have your priorities all mixed up.
Phil, I want to say something.
Shut up, woman. I'm talking to this man. Now, you understand something?
What do you mean telling her to shut up?
You can't tell her to shut up. She's your future wife.
I tell her to shut her mouth when I'm talking to you, and I tell you.
Hold on a minute. The man just said $200 so that the girls dress appropriately. What do you think of that?
And what am I supposed to do? I got a man who give me $300 to let the girls come to school with a vibrator, something like that. That's ridiculous.
That's immoral.
It's immoral.
Not ridiculous. It's immoral.
Absolutely. So what I'm
saying. And you're using those kids as pawns for your own personal gain, so you can go on a little tootsie-tootsie trip with your so-called wife.
I'd like to say that all the...
Will you shut your mouth? Shut up!
That sounds like a marriage going to last about 15 seconds.
Oh, man. No kidding.
All I'm saying is we got 7 days and seven nights in Amsterdam alone. Then we are going down to the Holy Land where Jesus Christ hung from a cross for you, for me.
What's your Amsterdam trip got to do with this? And I don't care if you're staying at the DoubleTree in Tel Aviv. I don't care if you're flying nonstop United Airlines to Frankfurt. You guys are telling me this trip like it's something out of The Price is Right. You know, these girls are coming to us. We've had complaints. Girls are wearing, they're wearing pasties. What is this nursing bra thing?
Child came to school wearing a nursing bra. You cannot see a thing.
A bra on the outside of her clothes.
That is correct, yeah.
Now you got something against newborn babies?
Oh, come on, man. It's a nursing bra.
I don't know. There are teachers out there that are teaching children, and they are making nothing. And they work 16 hours a day. And
you
they don't
that.
Ask to go on.
You're just saying that because you read that in the comic book.
All right. Thank you, John, for your call. Let's go over to Ada. Ada, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
It's Ada.
Ada, I'm sorry.
I have a question. I'm not sure how these guys got on the radio. Did they call in to you?
We asked Ms. Bingham on as a guest because of a news item. Pastor Rennick has jumped on the phone, which we've allowed him to do. But I would like you, Pastor Rennick, to understand I can't have four people talking at once. Go ahead, ma'am.
You know, I don't want you talking to my fiancé like that.
I've got to have some quiet here.
Okay, well, let's just address that comment you just made right now. Miss Claire?
Yes,
You know, he should be the one saying that he shouldn't speak to you that way. Because if that's the way he's speaking to you before you take your vows,
I
can't imagine how he's going
to
speak to you after you take your
vows. He's telling
you
to shut up.
And collect all his money to take him on his little trip.
Corinthians tells us that the man is the head of the household and that he is a representation of Jesus Christ on this planet. And I do what my husband tells me to do. He's right. I should not talk so much. He was explaining something. I interrupted him. And
now shut up and let me talk to the woman.
That is unbelievable.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I am an inner city kid. I was born and raised in New York City.
Shut up!
Listen, Pastor Rennick.
Yes.
You say that one more time.
He's going to beat her.
I'm going to hang up on you. Go ahead, Ada.
I am an inner city kid. I was born and raised in Harlem in New York City. My mother worked at a sewing machine her whole life to send me to a private school in order to nurture my religious beliefs, which are Christian.
Do you have free dress?
To instill in me the morality and moral fiber that I am today. And I, in turn, now am passing that on to my children. My children have gone to a variety, depending on where we've lived, of Christian schools. Now, if that school comes to me and says, we want to do a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, we want to go to Israel, we want to go to Jerusalem, wherever they want to go, and they say, we want a contribution from the families of $100, and in exchange, we will let the children have, like, free homework passes if they earn them or dress-down days or whatever, okay, fine, it's a little perk for the kids, but dress-down days come with dress codes. And the dress codes are no spaghetti straps.
We can't tell the parents what to do. If they want to send their child to school.
Let me tell you, a parent that is supposedly sending their children to a religious school for religious upbringing is the last person that's going to want their kid to leave the house half naked.
We are doing this with the name of Jesus Christ. If we have the love of the Savior.
I don't think so. And I will tell you something else.
I got to say it. I get on my knees for Jesus. I get on all fours for Jesus.
The members of your congregation are most probably, and I have no problem with this, are probably black. And you know what?
Here comes the racism. Here comes the racism now.
No, there is no racism because I'm half Cuban and half Puerto Rican. I have black blood coming through me as much as I have white.
You got any black
and you know what? I believe that we need to teach our children that they are just as good. Just as good as the white man, or better, but not by teaching them that they should be slumming. Okay, that is not how we wound up with the Colin Powell today, or the wonderful black people that contribute to our society.
Ma'am, you know why it's called a sausage skirt?
But you are taking advantage of the people in your country.
No, ma'am.
I mean, I can't even believe what I'm hearing.
Ma'am, I will tell you.
And you're saying that it's okay to trade off the value.
Because
and the morality
going,
of the beautiful
once
girls that go to your school
go
so
to
that you can
Germany,
spend some time in Amsterdam or in France or in Italy?
Doubletree Hotel in Tel Aviv.
I don't care. I own a Doubletree Hotel in Orlando. I don't give a damn where you're staying. And you know what? If your constituents are stupid enough to pay for your trip, more power to them.
Man,
what bothers me is that they're trading off the values of their children.
I find it hard to believe that Abraham had a bowel movement.
Hello?
Yes, and he is a terrible role model.
No, I was trying to get
and
a word
so are you.
Out.
You are the role model of a submissive woman that will allow a man to do and treat her like anything.
I let my man tell me when to shut up because you should have a man tell you when to shut up.
You know what?
You've been running
we don't
here.
Talk to each other that way. We have a 25-year-old
man. You should have a man tell you to shut up!
That is based on respect.
Absolutely, absolutely, Ada. Or Ada, right?
Respect,
you
love,
her name
and
now
togetherness.
Different times.
Okay,
my husband has never told me to shut up.
Man,
he may tell me he doesn't agree with me, but he would never tell me to show up, and I would never show him that kind of disrespect.
I'll tell you right now, you know, a bust in the nose might be the best thing for you. Now,
all right, that's it. That's
you know what? If you guys are teaching this to children, there is no wonder that there are the problems that there are in society
Adam,
today.
Did you hear
because
my husband?
Because you guys are the ones they're looking up to, and that really
Adam, my husband said something I think bears repeating. Don't take your anger out on us because your mother made baseballs for a living.
Hey,
what is that supposed to mean, making baseballs for a living?
I said
she was
sewing at a sewing machine.
She
sent me to a good school. And she would have gladly given her $100 and probably wouldn't have eaten lunch so that she could give to the church and to the school that was teaching me.
Well, thank you
for not teaching me the wrong thing.
Don't tell her to shut up. Thank you, Ada.
I think you should get rid of these people.
Oh, they're other psycho.
Listen to that. Oh,
the guy
God.
Is...
Goodbye.
Ow! Ow!
I'm sorry, I used my teeth.
Damn right!
1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
The DoubleTree in Tel Aviv. And from there, we're going to fly to Ankara, Turkey. And I've got a brother there who has set up a Christian mission. And we have got a town car going to meet us. Drive us all over. So it's going to be sweet. And I want to thank the congregation of Joyful Union for providing this wonderful sabbatical ministry.
And Phil, I think it's terrible if people think we're doing it for the money.
All right, let me get Emmanuel. Emmanuel, go ahead. You're on with Pastor William Rennick and Clara Bingham. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Emmanuel. I'm giving a little comment about the guy who is going to make a trip to Tel Aviv and...
We're taking 7 days and seven nights to Amsterdam.
Yeah, you make me sick, you hear?
I make you sick.
People like you that make Christianity feel so bad.
If you're brother, where are you from?
Shut up! Read your Bible. See that you and your wife have to read your Bible. Read about the word Paul talk about pastors
now,
and
the
deacon and this
brother
and stop abusing Christianity. You hear? Stop abusing Christianity.
I talked to Jesus last night.
I don't think you have education. You don't have education. You don't have
no education.
You have to educate. Go and educate yourself by Christianity. Christianity.
I'll tell you what, right now, I'm going to go educate myself in Amsterdam 7 days and seven nights.
Come on. As a pastor, look at the stupidity that you are giving to Christianity.
Brother, why don't you take the lip out of your plate? Take the plate out of your lip. You know what?
Oh, shut up, both of you.
Take the plate out of your lip, you dumb bitch. Anyway, as I was saying.
Oh, man. This guy, he's twisted, dude.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's twisted.
If you call yourself a pastor, you better read your Bible.
I call myself a pastor.
Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, MTV presents coverage of the Iraq War. With Carson Daly.
Yeah, I'm Carson Daly, and this is the Iraq War. And for whatever, we're going to have rockin' coverage of the Iraqi war on TMV, on MTV. Ah! Oh, yeah! Okay, anthrax and everything, and smallpox and everything is apparently what Saddam Hussein has in store for us. We're going to go over to Joe Bonobi from the band Love and Cry. Joe, what do you got for us?
Well, there's some stories about soldiers and they're attacking the Americans.
Yeah! Ow! War! 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 War!
MTV's spring break coverage of the war in Iraq will continue in a moment.
Ah, yeah! Okay, we're at Fort Lauderdale Beach. Ah, all right. Chicks are nude. people are nuding up. There's man, I'm sorry, dude. I definitely just a couple of frosty ones just before we went on the air. But let's hear it for everybody over here at Fort Lauderdale Beach for the Iraqi War. Hey! And we'll be doing our spring break coverage of the Iraqi War. What's your name, baby?
Mary.
Yeah. Have you ever had smallpox?
Yeah.
You do now.
I don't get it.
Okay. Let's go over to Benny. Benny's got some sweetness over there. It's tight. It's really tight. What's up?
Yeah, this is tight. The American infantry soldier people have attacked.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Word up to your mom.
MTV's coverage, Spring Break in Iraq. We'll be back in a moment.
Head for the Rockies, Coors Beer. Wow.
We're back with Spring Break in Baghdad.
All right, everybody. Yeah, hey. Man, I tell you, I just took American smart bomb straight up my ass. That's no good, you know. But it's everything's beautiful here. Lots of chicks, you know. Hey, some chick took her burqa off. Yeah! Yeah! I saw her neck and stuff. Yeah!
MTV's coverage of the spring break, Iraq style, with Carson Daly.
Okay, that's just sort of what's happening right now around the world with the war in Iraq. In Iraq? Okay, Okay, I had it here a minute ago. Oh, here it is. I'm Carson Daly.
We'll be back with more.
Okay, we're talking about the Iraq war here on MTV. Is it good or not? We're taking some phone calls. I'm Carson Daly, and here's Tom. Tom's calling in from Wichita. Sup?
Sup, Carson?
Sup?
Here's the thing. If we don't control Hussein now, he'll come over with drone planes and blast everything to bits. Then where would you be? You're such a dumbass. They'd use you for target practice or something like that. So we think the best thing to do is to attack, you know... Hello?
Okay. That's great. All right, we'll be back with more MTV coverage of the Iraqi war. I'm Carson Daly.
We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. If we get any good calls, we put them on the air. Problem is, in our non-character-driven hours, of which there will be two this evening, as there usually are, we don't usually get any decent phone calls. Yesterday, we were talking, for instance, about the tragedy of the fire in Rhode Island, and then people called. And I'm thinking, well... what's to talk about? I'm going to sit here and chew the fat over who's to blame for the fire? I already said who was to blame for the fire. Not that I'm right, but I don't want to hear anybody else's opinion. Why would I want that? See, as a talk show host, I don't really want to hear anybody else's opinion. But some places want you to put those calls up anyway, and so occasionally we will. If they're good. I would rather get those calls than story number 943 on, you guessed it, Siamese twins. Now, what is it with Siamese twins, anyway? Every time I open up the newspaper, there's a story about Siamese twins. Janice, all she does is give me stories about Siamese twins. All you ever read about are stories about Siamese twins. All you ever hear about, Siamese twins were born attached, some Siamese twins, the surgery was successful, it wasn't, these Siamese twins are alive, Siamese twins are not alive. Here's a story about Iranian Siamese twins who are trying to be separated because they can't stand each other. They hate each other's guts. Yesterday we had Siamese twins on, one was straight and one was gay. I think you got a Siamese twin fetish, Janice, if you want my honest opinion. Can't we just not have any more Siamese? I think it's terribly tragic. Be honest, I'm serious. I think it's terribly tragic, and I think that we've developed science to the point we now know if a child is going to be born with Down syndrome, we have certain prenatal treatments. What's causing Siamese twins? How about, what is it, smoking or something? Drinking? What is our fascination with Siamese twins? Every time I open it, like I said, there's a story every day about this. They successfully separated them. They weren't successful in separating them. And now these ones that don't like each other. We're going to have stories about Siamese twins, what, you know, killing each other or something, or, you know, beating each other up, pounding on each other. These twins refused to discuss details of their personal lives, but they admitted to disagreeing on what to eat, read, or watch on television and how to spend their leisure time occasionally. Puzzle solving is a love of one of them, but she dislikes cooking and cleaning. On the other hand, one of them likes to cook, which annoys the other one. However, they're both known for making compromises. Sometimes we have quarrels and disputes over various issues, but generally we have a good understanding and love for each other. But now they want to be separated because they just can't stand it any longer. Well, no kidding. Who likes it? It's like being bald. You know, a guy says, do you like being bald? Well, I'm learning to live with it. Well, if we could give you real hair, would you like that? Yeah. Yeah. Who wouldn't? See, I'm never going to put on a wig or a toupee, but if they ever come up with a surefire cure for baldness, I'll go for it. I'll go ahead and sprinkle that stuff on my head, see if some hair comes up. But otherwise, I ain't putting on no weave, and I'm not doing any toupee. Nothing dead's laying on my head. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. The news today is that Saddam Hussein is not insane. He's just a malignant narcissist. And I believe that. Saddam Hussein is not insane. You can't be crazy and do what he does. You can't be insane and operate the way he does. Anybody that this idea of calling people madmen, it's kind of like the Nazis. They called them all nuts. There wasn't one Nazi that was nuts. Not a one. You don't have to be nuts to be immoral. You're just immoral. You're just you're not even immoral in a lot of ways. If you want my honest read on it, it's that you have a society that you've built, and anything that doesn't go along with it is an enemy. It's a very natural instinct. It just so happens he's built a little world that is a certain way and doesn't go along with any other known norm. But he's not crazy. Apparently, Saddam Hussein's mother was so depressed she thought about aborting him. She thought about having an abortion. And thank God she didn't, because we respect the rights of the unborn. I know. Let him be born, and then he would have been raised a certain way, and he wouldn't have turned out to be. If he would have had Christianity in his life instead of that Islam stuff, well, he would have been all right. France is not a pacifist country. The target of U.S. scorn, Francis Jacques Chirac, tells Time magazine that he loves America, likes our junk food, and used to hitchhike across the country, and worked a forklift in France, and generally just loves the hell out of America. He said that he's really disappointed in the fact that people think he hates the country. You know, we've been leaning on France a lot, and obviously, you know, look, the whole reason why we're leaning on France is because they have decided that they're going to go against us in the United Nations, and that they're going to begin to, you know, they're going to kind of form their own coalition there in Europe, and they're going to, you know, create their own world over there. And so they're not going along with the way we want things to be done. And so we don't like the, you know, we don't like them. We want to attack Iraq and they don't want to. Or some of us want to attack Iraq and some of us don't. And, you know, we agree with them. And so, you know, they're a fun country to make fun of on the basis of that. But I've never liked France. This has got nothing to do with Iraq. I've never liked them. I've never liked that freaking country. From the day I was born, I've never liked it. What is this whole thing about how France, you know, all of a sudden ain't digging us because we're going, you know, because we want to go into Iraq? Who cares? I'm not saying I don't like the French because we're not going into Iraq, because they don't want to go into Iraq with us. I'm saying I just don't like them. I don't like their country and I don't like their food. What is it with French food? And who ever told anybody that French food was any good? And why I went to Paris on vacation, I went there because my wife wanted to see it. I told her, I warned her, I said, there's nothing to see. There's nothing to see. Well, you know, the Arc de Triomphe. Yeah, what about it? It's a big thing over a street. What about the Eiffel Tower? What about the Eiffel Tower? Man, you can go to the Stratosphere in Vegas. It's bigger. You can go to the Empire State Building. The view is way better. From the Eiffel Tower, all you're looking at is France. From the Empire State Building, you're looking at America. Well, you know, the food. Oh, you know, let me clue you in on something so that you just know this. French food is horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. I don't care what you think. It's horrible. Well, you don't have any taste, Phil. Oh, yes, I do have taste. When I got to Paris, the first thing I looked for was an Italian restaurant. That's the first thing I looked for. I mean, we ate in about three or four restaurants before I said to my wife, I can't stand this any longer. I can't stand their creams and their bland crap. Get me some garlic and get it now. We're going, we're getting garlic. So I stumbled into an Italian restaurant. Now, the cheese, yeah, okay, I guess it's all right. The people, they suck. The cops, they suck too. Okay, so what does that leave exactly? Drive through the wineries? I can drive through the middle of California, up the San Joaquin Valley, into the Napa Valley, through Mendocino, through the Grand Redwoods of Mendocino, go out onto Highway 1 along the northern coast of California, and there is nowhere on earth, including France, that's better looking. You're going to try to tell me the rolling countryside of France compares to the magnificent redwood forest? As you go into Mendocino County, you can stop off, you can go to wineries up there. They've got just as good, if not better, wine. Plus, you got the beautiful redwood trees. You make it through the redwoods, and suddenly you're out on the coast, and there's the beautiful Pacific Ocean. You can go north on one up to Mendocino. You can go south on one down to Elk. You can stop off at little taverns and little restaurants along the highway. There's the ocean. There's wineries. What? So I'm going to fly to France and do what? Rent a car and drive to some farmhouse where some guy's got a bottle of wine that he pulled out of a pig's rear end? That he milked some pig for? Why would it? It doesn't even compare. There's no comparison. Then they tell me about the south of France. Oh, really? Oh, that's wonderful. The south of France, huh? Well, we have Laguna Beach. We've got Miami Beach. We've got, hello, it's a place called Bahana Coast, Hawaii. Oh, yeah, but the south of France, they party their ass off. Yeah, try South Beach on a Friday night. Yeah, but there's all kinds of sex. Try South Beach on a Friday night. There's gay sex, straight sex, animal sex. Well, I mean, what about the nightlife of Paris? Ever been to New York? What about the museums? Ever been to New York? Get out of here. If you're going to go to Europe, go to Italy, go to Britain, go to Amsterdam, you know, go to Holland or go to Belgium. Go try Germany. Even Germany is pretty interesting. Berlin's very interesting. Try going to Greece. There's plenty of places to go. You ain't missing nothing when you miss France. And that is a promise. We got it all right here in the good old USA without the smell. Try going to Scandinavia. That's interesting, Scandinavia. The women are, they're okay. No, they're pretty, they're beautiful, but they're a little, hefty. But they got all the modern conveniences that money could buy. Go to Israel. There's plenty of places to go. Go to Bali. Hell, I'm going down to Bali. I don't care if they blow up a nightclub down there. I'd rather take my chances in a Bali nightclub than stand around waiting to get served in some frog bar. So, nothing they got that we ain't got. And Disneyland, too. We got the real one. We got the real one in Anaheim. We got the cool one in Orlando. And then we got Six Flags, all those joints, all those roller coasters that they got. We got Knott's Berry Farm in L.A. We got that Knott's Snoopy thing up in Minneapolis. We got that far-out roller coaster they got at State Line. What's that big one they got in Ohio? That thing kicks ass. Yeah, that's a wood roller coaster up in Ohio. The thing is just beautiful. It's beautiful. You'll die. You'll die of a heart attack on that. There's nothing they got. See the world, man. Just don't see France. All right, 1-800-4... I'm just kidding. They're really great. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Lance Bass is ready to go to the moon again. You know this guy from NSYNC? Why does that bother all of us? Why do we all hate that? We all hate it. There isn't a one of us that wants Lance Bass to go into space and return alive. Not a one. If we could put a one-man shuttle together, we'd put him in it and hope that it broke up in the atmosphere as it re-entered. There isn't one human being walking the Earth that wants Lance Bass to go to space and return alive. Now, why is that? Except maybe for who? No, not even his relatives. My understanding, not even he wants to return back alive. There's no one. Even Lance Bass wants, he really wishes that when he goes up there, as he re-enters the atmosphere, suddenly just heat plates start flying off that thing. Because that cat, yeah, then we'd have a special on him, see? And then we'd all be like hanging our heads with half-mast and all that. God almighty. There isn't a one of us that, and it pops up every week. And I heard Ted Nugent said something that I thought was cogent and to the point. He said, hey, Lance, I tell you what, for half the money, for $10 million, I'll teach you how to fish, how to hunt, how to, pee standing up. There's certain things you can learn for half the bread I'll teach you. Practical things. I think it's the fact it's an entitlement thing that he can do it, that he has the money to do it, and that he's not operating in, I think, the best possible way. He's not enhancing his image. For instance, here's a quote. Lance Bass says to a reporter from New York, we're ready to go this October on this space shuttle thing. The money is all in place and everything's set. We were almost there last fall, but we got screwed at the last minute by certain people. We also had MTV and others ready to go, but now everything is settled. So there's nothing in that statement that tells us why he's going. It gives us an indication as to his temperament when he says we got screwed at the last minute. That's this wee stuff, pal. You're the only one that's going up there. You're the only guy going up there. Maybe you took it in the shorts with a wah-wah brush, but nobody else did. He has a gold shuttle pin on his lapel. He says the Columbia disaster has done nothing but make him want to go more. Oh, well. As far as he knows, the Columbia accident has not changed the scheduled plans for the Russian takeoff in October either. How this will coincide with NSYNC's plans is another story. Justin Timberlake told a reporter that the group is supposed to resume their recording career in September with or without Lance Bass. If he should die in the shuttle explosion, Timberlake said the band would go on. All we have to do, he said, is get another guy what sing good. End quote. Joey Fatone, for example, did not make it out of the third grade, and he does a very good job in our band. Timberlake went on to say that manager Johnny Wright said, I can go into any shooting gallery or crack house and find someone who sings as well, if not better, than Lance. He may be a Negro, but oh well, those are the chances you take, end quote. So there you go. So nobody cares. Nobody. This Lance Bass guy with his trip to the moon is beginning to really bug me. Because he's rich, because he's young, because he's good looking, because he knows how to sing, and he's going to get to go into outer space. Something I thought I'd be able to do when I was a child. You know, when I was a little kid, we were going to the moon and we were doing all that stuff, and I could proudly stand there in front of my mother with just a little dribble of urine down the inside of my thigh and say, someday I go moon, you see. And because I was like 6 or 7, I figured, hey, we're going to go to the moon. We ain't anywhere near the moon. I'm nowhere closer to getting on a space shuttle than the man in the moon. Justin Timberlake, he gets to go. He gets a ride with his buddy Lance Bass. The two of them will be up there playing Mumbly Peg together, playing Hide the Salami. You know, that's the thing that, you know, and I'm still stuck down here on the planet Earth. These two cats are going to be a couple of space bandits up there with their little space trip, man. They're going to be doing that new, you know, you ever hear that old Deep Purple tune, Let's Go Space Pounding? That's what those cats are going to be doing. Justin Timberlake and Lance Bass doing a little space pounding, man, on their way to Uranus. It's just marvelous. It's great to be young and rich. Young and wealthy, man. Now, you know, it's funny. I mean, we'll go to a restaurant, my wife and I, and I'll see these cats like half my age pulling up in Lexus, Mercedes, Jags. Well, where'd they get this Jag? I don't have that kind of money. And I realize the world is a good place to live in. America, what a country. Now, the space program will continue according to the president. We're going to get another shuttle up there. We're going into outer space. We're going to Mars, and ain't nobody going to stop us. And people say, why? Don't we have so much more to do here on Earth? No, we don't, really. We don't have that much more to do on Earth. Can't we use the money for something more here on Earth? Look at the money we're spending on war. And look at all the poverty there is. What's that got to do with anything? What do you mean, look at all the money we spend on war? I agree that we should invest in our public schools. I totally agree with that. I believe in public education. And I'm not alone. Thomas Jefferson believed in it, too. If you're, you know, at all interested, Jefferson was a huge believer in public education. And we pretty much let that slide. Today we have public schools that are nothing more than huge toilets. We got, you know, kids are going in cardboard boxes, but we got enough bread to build a hockey arena. So I get it. But war ain't the thing we should be cutting back on. Hockey arenas we ought to cut back on. You see what I'm saying? War, to me, is an investment in my personal security in this country. Waging the war against Iraq, to me, is an investment in the security of me and my fellow citizens. The security of a country I happen to love, America. War in Afghanistan, war in Iraq, wherever the terrorists happen to be, we take the fight to them. That's what the president said. I think that's a viable investment. However, what I don't think is a viable investment are ballparks. I don't think that's a good investment. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. Ballparks, not a good investment. Tax breaks for ballpark owners and ball club owners, not a good investment. I may be wrong. $500 million. How much did they spend to build that one in D.C., that Redskin Park or whatever that thing is? That's like $800 million. That's a pretty damn good stealth. Don't talk to me about how many kids you can feed if we weren't going to war in Iraq. How many kids could you feed with the $800 million it cost to put that ballpark in? Down in San Diego, those brain, they, you know, they're such brain surgeons in San Diego, it just boggles the imagination. Get a load of this. If you really want to, you want to laugh? Here you go. This is San Diego. This is why I love that town so much. They build a baseball stadium, but not a football stadium. In other words, they'd like to keep the Padres, but the Chargers can leave town. So let me get this straight. The Padres, which have stunk the joint up down there so often, it doesn't even abide the telling, they want to keep them, but the Chargers, the first professional sports franchise they ever had in that city, adios, you're a ghost. Now that makes sense. That's San Diego. They've been mouth-breathing down there for decades. San Diego is that kid in the back of the class who used to do this. Did you ever see that kid? You know, remember him? That's San Diego. Mouth-breathing bunch of clods. Talk to me about how much money we're putting into the war effort, for God's sake. We're sticking money into when we got kids going to school in toilet bowls and we're building hockey arenas in Miami. See, they need two separate ballparks down there. They need one for the basketball and one for the hockey. Because, God forbid, the two teams should share one facility. Now, we can't have that. And Miami, Broward County, is a disgrace in terms of the public schools. It's an absolute disgrace. And I'm glad I have this public forum to call them out here nationally. Miami, it was a great place and all that, baloney. But let's face it. The high cost of war, what we could be doing, the mouths we could be feeding, the mouths we could be feeding. Let me ask you a question. How come all those cats down there in Malibu who are against this Iraq war can't give up a few square feet of access so I can park my ass on the beach in front of their house? You know, this is when I love the liberal side of me comes out, right? Here it is. We have, as we have all across the country, Florida, you know, the southeastern coast, Hawaii, Oregon coast, and we've got some sweet beaches in America, right? And we've got some very nice beach right out here along Malibu. I mean, nice beach, lots of it, and it's empty every day of the week. Would you like to know why it's empty? Oh, well, you know, Steven Spielberg, he bought the beach. Did you know you can buy the beach? See, to me, that ought to be against the law. I don't mind him living on the beach. You can stick your house right on the sand, and there doesn't have to be anybody blocking it. Nobody gets to put a house in front of you. You can have a beautiful view of the ocean. You've got the house that's sitting right there on the ocean. All I'm asking for is that I be allowed to use a little bit of the beach in front of that house. Is there something wrong with that? No, they got to own that beach to the point where they hire some schmuck on an ATV riding up and down the beach all day long, kicking people off of it. And I remember I took my wife and kids out there to sit on Trancas Beach. Beautiful day, having a nice, you know, we're sitting there with a bunch of the other people, and some pruned up old Naga hide skinned looking old bag is up on her deck, and she's calling down to Jimmy or Eddie, whoever the poor little slob is on that ATV, Annie, can you move some of the scum off the beach?
Yes, Mrs. Spielberg.
I don't know who the hell it was somebody. So he's going up to us, you're going to have to leave. I got to leave what? Well, you have to leave the beach. I got to leave the beach? Yeah, this is private. It's private. Private? Yeah, well, it's private right up to the waterline. You're invited to go into the water, but you can't come out of the water and stand in the sand. Okay, can I ask you a question? Sure. How do I get to the water? Well, there's access right there. Is that public access? That's public access. Can I sit there? Yes, you can. Well, the public access is 6 feet wide. It's 6 feet wide down to the beach. You want to talk about a public resource being misused? There, you got it right there. It's not enough for these people to have a house on the beach. They got to own the sand. That's my, that happens to be my birthright as a Californian. That's my birthright. That ocean and that sand. That's where I stand and I look at the sun setting and I go, what a nutty place. I smoke a little weed, take a pop on a brew, snort some coke, shoot up some heroin, and say, what a great country. That's where I go to relax. Of course, I'm kidding. Well, not the relax part. You stand out there, snap the lid off of a beer, have a drink, L.A. County Sheriff comes along, gives you a ticket, it's great. But if I own my own beach, I can slobber down as much hooch as I want standing on that beach. But God forbid I go down the beach to the public area, I can't have a beer. What the hell is that? I don't like it. I don't think it's fair. I'm pissed off about it. That's a misuse of resources. Don't tell me how much a freaking war costs. Go get some of that sand back. That's valuable, man. To me, that's valuable. God. Am I wrong or am I right? Am I insane, you know? I don't mind if the guy has a house on the beach. That's fine. You deserve it. You earned it. You earned enough money that you could get yourself a house right on Malibu Beach. Who says you get to own that freaking sand? I'm getting so tired of that. I'm going to go out in front of that guy's house, whoever it is, and light a bonfire. I was at somebody's house that was on the beach right in front of Johnny Carson's place, right? This is a beach that has a gate. You can't get through. It's a gate. You got to have a key to the gate to go down to this beach because it's private. You don't get to go. You got to go to the beach where the baby diapers are and the dog crap. So next time you're worrying about how much stuff costs, just take a look at what we got and how we're misusing it right now. And the best news of all is that there's some places where they don't want to put any money into a freaking ballpark. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So we're going to the Aspen Comedy Arts Festival and broadcast live from there tomorrow and Friday. On Thursday and Friday. We'll be live on stage Thursday and Friday in the Aspen Room at the St. Regis Hotel. And the cleaner that has my shirts doesn't have them. I took them in yesterday, and then somebody went in to get them for me. We don't have the shirts. H-E-N-D-R-I, Phil Hendry? No, I don't know. You're talking about. Shirts. I brought them in. Get out of here. You kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you, man. I brought like 15 shirts in. So I got nothing to wear. I'm going to have to wear Chris's clothes. Here is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, what's up, Bill?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fabulous. You know, ever since we got this, I got this XM radio, I used to try and, I'm from Calgary. I used to try and listen to you.
Calgary what? Canada?
Yeah, man.
Uh-huh.
I used to try and listen to you. I could actually reach the show outside of Calgary on, 640. Thank goodness for XM Radio. Now I can hear you all the time.
Oh, great.
It's great. Last week you had some nut from Canada. I think it was from Toronto calling, giving you a bad time about...
He was a maniac. He was an anti-Semitic. He was nuts. He was, it's one of those talk radio psychos.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, he surely doesn't represent... I think the majority of the Canadians, man.
How do you know? I'm just kidding.
I'm in touch, man.
Okay, so, all right, thank you. Well, all right, well, okay.
Listen, when you come to Calgary?
Probably never. I mean, why would I go there? I guess for the Stampede or something?
That's it,
man. Go see a Canadian League game?
The Stampede's it. Anyways, okay. I just wanted to call and say, great show. I love it.
Okay, man. You're very kind, sir.
I try to tune in all the time.
Thanks a lot.
Keep it up.
Okay, thanks. So why did I take that phone call? I don't understand. He had comments about something? Maybe you can get a few more specific questions from them in, like what they want to ask. 1-800-449-8686. 877-616-7445 is the number to call for our Best Of CD. The Best of Phil Henry Show CD is available there or online, philhenryshow.com. And you can get it by going online and ordering with a Visa or a MasterCard, and I don't know what other credit cards will take. And by getting the Phil Henry CD, the Best of the Phil Henry Show, either 2002, which is a double CD, or any of them, you know, all the money goes to My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And it really is an important piece of work that they're doing there, because these kids that they're servicing come from all over the country, all over North America. So when you get that CD, your $20 goes to them. None of it comes to us, to them. All we ask is $3.50 for shipping and handling, and I don't even see any of that. Or if you'd like, when you go to our website, you can get something from our souvenir shop. It's the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com. But the best thing about our website is all of the audio from our show, past and present. PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
Father James McCorder, Father, I wanted to talk to you today. You are doing a series of I think you're doing a series of sermons throughout the South Bay on mistakes that young people are making.
That's true, Phil, for the next couple of weeks. I'll be talking about mistakes we make as young people, and a mistake that a young woman in particular is making in our parish. And I think it's something that young people can certainly take a great life lesson from.
What is that?
Well, the young lady is getting married this Saturday. Her family has asked that I be there to bless the wedding and to attend and bless the reception. And she's asked that I not be allowed to attend.
The young lady, her family wants you there, but she doesn't?
That is my understanding, yes.
Why not?
Well, I'd like to tell you why first, but first I also want to tell you, Phil, about the mistake this child is making. I'm a Catholic priest. I am a Catholic priest. And I am a conduit, as such, of God's grace to his flock. And especially during the bans of matrimony, when you keep a priest from attending, it can be a mortal sin against the Holy Ghost, and that is the holy grace of God. And this is a classic example of a young lady going against the wishes of her parents. And when I say the mistakes we make as young people, these are mistakes we make as young people against our parents, two people who raised us and guided us and gave us life itself. And now these two would like me to attend her wedding, and she will not allow it.
So she is committing a sin according to Catholic doctrine?
Well, yes, she is committing a sin of omission by not honoring her father and her mother, which is one of the Ten Commandments. These are mistakes that especially a young woman or a young man can make about him in life, about to embark into the world, they can make. And someday, as a man and wife, they'll bring life into the world.
All right, well, Father, the question is, why doesn't this girl want you at her wedding?
It would seem she's created a fantasy in her mind that I was personally responsible for molesting her, for touching her as a child.
Good God.
And these are the fantasies that are afoot across this country today and across this world about Catholic priests.
She believes you molested her.
That is correct, Phil, yes.
Did you?
Phil, I have told her parents that I forgive her. I cannot forgive her for going against the wishes of her parents. But I can forgive her for thinking that I molested her.
Father, did you molest her?
No, Phil, I did not.
Okay, so she is imagining this?
I believe that this young lady has the jitters and is using me as a way to get out of her marriage.
All right, sir, so just you did not molest. And I don't mean to, if you say you didn't, then you didn't. You did not in any way, this girl who doesn't want you at her wedding, you did not molest her.
Absolutely not, no.
Why would she say this?
Phil, as far as I can tell, this is a very common thing among young brides. Young brides realize the time will come that God will not be the only presence in their life, and that a new man will enter their vestibule. And it is at that time that a young lady suffers from, they suffer from the vapors, from anticipation of the wedding act. I think it's then that she begins to hallucinate what it is that she might really desire.
Well, what you're telling me is that she desires what? She's desiring sex? From you?
No, but I think that bears scrutinizing that a young woman accusing a priest that she's known her entire life of sexually abusing and the full fondlement is in fact expressing the beginning stages of sexual desire.
For you?
I would think that it's right, yes, in advance of her wedding night and the deflowering. But it does have a variety of names, but I think it's the jitters, the vapors, being at odds with the Holy Ghost.
Father, this young lady doesn't want you at her wedding, not because she feels you molested her, but that she doesn't want to be torn between the sight of you and the sight of the man wearing her ring. She doesn't want to choose.
She doesn't want to openly display her lust. And while it doesn't give me a slight, it does give me a slight tickle of joy and perhaps a fantasy or two, it's also wrong of her to accuse me of something so low. And a young woman will often claim of being molested when she gets nervous.
So this young lady is nervous about her wedding, huh?
That is, we are told, a common symptom of it, yes.
Father McQuarters, James McQuarters, is with us for Belmar Academy. Wow, I mean, that's a heavy thing you're talking about. Not being invited to the wedding of a young lady you've known her whole life, correct?
All of her life since she was born, yes. And I've known the family since they moved to California, yes.
And she thinks you molested her?
That is correct.
Well, what do the parents say about this?
I assured them that it wasn't true, and her father and mother are satisfied with that, and they believe that she just has a case of the nerves, and that she'll get over it. But it's important to understand that while you suffer from these nerves, or so-called jitters, that eventually they can hurt someone innocent. And I don't mind her accusing me of molesting her. But what of the person who's not as morally strong, as spiritually strong as I am? And I'm afraid this young lady's making the biggest mistake of her life by not inviting me to her special day, one that the Lord may not forgive.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Father James McQuarter is on. I think it's very noble of you and very upfront of you to share this with us, that this family you've known for a long time, their daughter has accused you of molesting her, even though you say you haven't.
I have not, Phil. It's not I say that I have it, I've not.
Okay. And you say that she's suffering from the jitters before getting married.
I think it's common among young women who are about to come into their full flower of womanhood, to imagine or fantasize they were fondled by a priest, when in point of fact they were not, yes.
And she's about to get married, so she's imagining it.
That is my belief, right.
Father, why you and not her father or another man, I'm curious.
The priest, Phil...
In other words, why would she accuse you of molesting her and not somebody else?
Well, I was going to say, the priest is often used subconsciously as a symbol not only of religious restriction, but conversely a symbol of sensual freedom, into that we are religiously restrictive. So a young woman will often imagine she's been deflowered by the vessel of the Lamb. And the Bible tells us that Paul was stricken by a white light and knocked off of his horse. It was then that he knew God that had called him. And so that, I think, is what's going on.
All right, Father McQuarters, our number is 1-800-449-8686. He's dealing with a family whose daughter is going to be getting married. She doesn't want Father McQuarters at the wedding because she imagines she's hallucinated or fantasized or something that he molested her once when she was a kid. And Father McQuarters is telling us that this is often common among young women who are about to be married. He claims he did not. He has told the family as such. And what's going on now is that because she's not letting him attend the wedding, he is saying that among Catholics that's a sin, to not let a priest who wants to be at your wedding be there. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Do you think, Father, that priests are an easy target for this kind of thing?
I think we've become the easy target, yes. I think we've become the most logical target for some people, yes. But I can assure you, Phil, that I did not molest this child at all. And she's imagining it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Father McQuarters, James McQuarters is with us. What you're essentially saying is that young women who don't want to get married, who get cold feet, use sexual molestation as a way of getting out of it?
Phil, I think that is the case, at least with of this young lady I'm talking about, and also many others, that they are sexually molested. And the young man won't want to marry them. And so they use this as an excuse, when in point of fact, they were never molested. They just don't want to get married to some loser. And I think that they're looking at this loser and saying, how do I get out of marrying this guy? I think I'll come up with some phony baloney story about getting molested by the Catholic priest. And the next thing you know, the young man won't want to marry them.
Why?
Why what?
Why won't the young man want to marry him? Why would that deter a young man from marrying a woman?
A lot of young men think that she might be tainted that way. And so I think this young girl has made up a story about me.
That you molested her.
That I molested her.
So she can get out of marrying some loser.
That I firmly believe.
So you are not being invited to this wedding Saturday. Because she says you molested her, but she's lying because she wants to get out of this marriage with this loser.
I think, Phil, that sometimes young women don't realize until the last minute that the man they're about to marry is a loser. So claiming molestation is a very easy way to get out of it without financial loss. She says she's been, touched and fondled and the like, and calls off the wedding to get her head straight. Is the way these young ladies say it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You again say you did not molest her.
I never laid a hand on her.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jeff on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I feel that if the young lady don't want him to appear at the wedding, he should respect her enough not to show up. Because
I understand
when she gets
that.
Ready to go on her honeymoon, she's going to think about this freaky Catholic priest. Who's molested her?
Excuse me, I did not molest her.
Well, that's your word against hers.
Well, now hold on just a second. Are you trying to tell me you believe her over me? I'm a Catholic priest.
You're a man.
I understand that, but I never laid a hand on this child.
And well, now let me address this. She's making this whole story up about you because she's nervous about getting married.
Absolutely.
That's a very serious allegation to make up to keep from getting married. I mean, to count for your marriage because you don't want the priest to show up to bless the wedding, that just sounds ridiculous.
Well, I
think he ought to be man enough to respect that young lady's wishes and stay at home and try to get his life together.
But I've got my life together. She's the one that can't get her head straight. This girl, who might have slept around, who might have acted the slut, why should I have to take out all the punishment? Do you have a daughter, sir?
Yes, I have a daughter.
All right.
And I would never lay hands on my daughter like that.
Of course
I would never open her vegetable, as you called it earlier, and flowers.
Why would you believe her, though, if she said that a Catholic priest molested her?
Why not? They got a million Catholic priests getting busted for this.
So that means
the Catholic religion is a very suspicious religion. You've had problems throughout the ages.
You got me twisting in the breeze because of something somebody else did?
This here, and I'll be done. I would respect her wishes and stay at home.
It's a mortal sin.
It's a mortal sin.
It's not biblical.
But priests molest boys, not girls.
That's not biblical, it being a mortal sin. There's no one in the Bible that teaches
if
the priest don't show up as a sin.
If you keep Jesus away from your wedding, yes, it is a mortal sin.
You're not Jesus.
No, but I represent him on earth.
Well, you're freaky.
Well, you can use all of those arcane ghetto terms you want, but the fact is...
What do you mean, arcane ghetto terms?
Yeah, what's freaky. Ghetto? What do you call ghetto
term? Well, you're freaky.
I'm a very highly educated guy, trust me.
Well, what's with the freaky then?
Well, that's what you sound like.
You calling me a freak?
You sound like a freak.
Look, your daughter, I could guarantee, will claim molestation if she wants to get out of her wedding.
I think the state ought to investigate.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Father James McWhorter on the line with us. We're talking here about the young woman who doesn't want him at her wedding because apparently she claims he molested her. And you say she's lying.
Absolutely. I swear. My hand to God. I never laid a hand on her.
She just wants you away. She's saying that you molested her because she's afraid of getting married.
I think so, yeah. I think she's probably got the hots for me or something.
She's got the hots for you.
Well, Phil, I don't mean to put it in such a way.
Well, I think it's pretty crude.
I think she's got something for me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What are they going to put me in jail for? Because I didn't wash my hands after going number two? They're not going to put me in jail for that.
I'll tell you what, the American Medical Association, whoever licenses you as a physician, licenses or oversees medical facilities will have something to say about that.
Oh, really? And who's that, Mr. Henry?
Sir, I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know. You and all these people who call in complaining about me, I'm the only thing standing between you and your kid and the Grim Reaper. So if your child has diphtheria one day or is writhing in pain from malaria, I'm the one that stands at the door and keeps the Grim Reaper out.
I don't know if it's you personally, but
it's someone
in your profession. But I got to tell you, you need to go back to school and learn more compassion for your clients. Or just don't deal. Let me tell you something.
What's wrong with giving a kid X-lax?
He gets the runs. It's against the Hippocratic Oath.
Listen to me. If I rip a page out of your magazine, you know what? I'd rather you come and punch me. You tell me, look, get the hell out of my office. But I certainly wouldn't want you to lead me on into your room so you could torture me. I mean,
what am I doing? What am I doing?
Well, for instance, sticking three fingers up my ass when it only costs for one, that might hurt. And I think
absolutely.
It would because I'm not used to... Okay, so you're admitting to me. I'm telling you, I'm admitting to you. I'd rather you tell me, get the hell out. That's called stealing. I don't want you taking my magazine. It wasn't there for you to take. And that's it. We can't do business.
I mean, we're talking about
But you're still willing to take my money or my insurance company's money and then torture me on top of it. Do you see the problem with that?
Here's the thing. The National Geographic I had was from 1959. It had a tribe of African women, and okay, they didn't have the tops on.
I understand. It's a memento.
It's a valuable deal.
Absolutely.
What is that doing in the waiting room of a medical office?
My mother told me if you don't want someone touching your toys, you don't bring them to work with you. You don't bring them with you wherever you go. So I'm sure you could have picked any Geographic magazine. You could have even bought one for $3, a current one. Why would you bring such a valuable magazine like that into your waiting room? You know most of your clients are lowlifes.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I had a client bellyaching about it.
And on top of that, you give the three-finger prostate exam to a guy who wasn't the one that tore the magazine, right?
That's right.
So some jackass tore the magazine, and the next guy in line gets it?
Hey, let me tell you what. He may not have done it, but he got it.
Yeah, but why? Don't you see a problem with that? You can't even pass judgment on the right person, and you're saying you're next to God? At least God would take it out on the person that did it, not the one that didn't do it.
Did you tell a guy he needed a catheter for a kidney stone?
I've told a lot of men that.
I mean, did you tell a guy he needed a catheter for a kidney stone when he didn't have a kidney stone?
All right, let me be clear here. That guy parked in a space that was clearly marked Dr. Sadler. That was my parking space. It's right next to the handicap one.
So the guy gets cathetered because he parked in your parking space.
What am I supposed to do?
Tell him don't do it, maybe?
Forget that.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. All right, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Get the best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. 7 years worth, plus this year's CD is a two CD set. For $20, you get two for one. That's pretty cool. You can get it online or you can call 877-616-7445. And on Thursday, we're at the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen. We'll be doing a live broadcast, but we're going to be performing. So we're going to have a live studio audience there in the Aspen Room. in the St. Regis Hotel, the 27th Thursday, the 28th Friday. We'll go on the air 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central, or Mountain, or whatever that is. 5 o'clock Mountain? Yeah. 5 o'clock Mountain. So that's on Thursday and Friday, The Phil Henry Show from the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
I was doing real good here. I had a nice view of life. I was feeling good. I just had a Diet Coke. Going to get back into the next half hour of the show. And then I looked up and I saw another celebrity on TV talking about the war in Iraq. And I looked up at my TV set and there was another celebrity talking about the human rights record in Turkey and how it's not equal. And, you know, how can you talk about Saddam Hussein when Turkey has such a bad human rights record? Good God. Where do they grow brains out there in Hollywood? Oh, wait a second. I live there. You know, all these old arguments, man, they don't work anymore. They don't work anymore. Well, we can't go after, if we go after Iraq, then we got to go after Turkey. If we go after Turkey, then we got to, you see, we have to be. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't you understand how this thing works? All in good time, brother. One at a time. Sometimes you got to do, you know, you got to deal with the devil a little bit. So I get it. So let's not go after anybody because everybody else has got a crap can human rights record. Should we just find somebody with a pristine human rights record? Did I tell you I went on Amnesty International and looked up every country? Canada's got a rotten human rights record. France has got a rotten human rights record. Of course, America, people can't stop talking about what a lousy human rights record we got. It's just Mexico, Poland, Russia. Where do you want to go? Scandinavia, Norway, Finland, Sweden, Denmark. They all got lousy human rights records. Oh, wait, you're going to tell me that some are worse than others? Oh, well, that's maybe the point we're trying to make with Iraq. Now you get it. Turkey, by the way, has one of the worst human rights records. And this is not the first time I've seen this particular performer, who I understand, and I don't want to make a big thing out of this, but I understand she's a fan of our show, so I won't mention her name. But I think Ms. Garofalo needs to... Oh, I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, by the way, Playboy magazine, I just want you to know, all those letters, they make them up. You're aware of that, aren't you? Yeah, seriously. So when I see a poll that Playboy, has taken or has sat on or is using in one form or another, I say to myself, sure. Here it is. This is a poll from Playboy.com on what turns women on. Damn. What turns women on? Now, I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that question asked in, oh, I don't know, about 24 hours since I looked at penthouse.com, hustler.com, highsociety.com, sheepneedlove2.com. But when a woman wants to get laid, it's not always for the obvious reasons. For the last year, Playboy magazine has been asking girls why they say yes. And at times, the answers have been shocking. Are you all sweaty after a hard day's work, wearing a dog collar, just plain repulsive looking? Nice! You, my lucky friend, are gonna get laid. So they went out, supposedly they asked a bunch of questions, and here's what they came up with. One woman said because they're drunk. No, this is why women sleep with guys. Because he was such a bore, I knew I had to sleep with him to get rid of him. MF Tampa, Florida. Yeah, okay. You know who wrote that? Hugh Hefner. He wrote that. Some guy living in an attic someplace with hair on his palms wrote that. Some dude sitting in front of a computer and just every now and again taking a break and going, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Look, Benny, why don't you write us like a couple of these letters? Now we'll throw you $50 a letter.
Okay, Mr. Hefner.
Here, because I was selfish, you want me to get into bed? Tell me all, you know, you want to get me into bed? Tell me that all you want to do is please me, me and only me. I didn't find him attractive. He was actually rather repulsive still. His confidence aroused me. LP in Tucson. Why don't they sign their real names? You want to know why? Because they don't have real names. Because I knew nothing would come of it. He was in a 4-year relationship, but his girlfriend was out of the country. He made it clear to me that he was into a, you know, K.E. in Evanston, Illinois. M.L. in Hollywood said he went after what he wanted, and what he wanted was me. That was the best move he could have made. K.M. in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I like things with four legs, and when it oinked, I just said, let's go for it. Here's K.M. in Los Angeles, who said, you know, liver and a milk bottle, yeah, it can be pretty exciting. Here's B.H. in Chicago. They were gigantic and 100% real. And on it goes. I love uniforms, all kinds of uniforms. And when I walked into Denny's that day and saw him working the fry bin, and you know, and on it goes. So I saw this poll, and I said, or alleged poll, alleged survey of some kind, I said, oh, it's just more of these letters these cats write. You know, those letters, like you don't know, are phony baloney. But even when they tell you that it was a survey that they took for the last year, that wasn't true either. It's Hef sitting up there in his palatial suite telling you what's up and what ain't. You dumb oaky hick, you. Hef's there, sucking on that pipe in his pajamas. The guy's probably in diapers by now. Do you realize that Hugh Hefner's probably wearing diapers right now? He probably, like, smells like an old man. Probably you go into his room, it just has that faint old person smell of, like, diaper and, you know, Old Spice. Hefner, it's over, man. You made my life hell. You probably smell like an old man, you know, out of Bengay. You made a lot of guys' lives hell, Hefner, because you put in your magazine women with 58-inch breasts and 2-inch waists, and, you know, like 22-inch asses and long hair and big lips, and we couldn't get any of them. So anything that we settled for under that bar, we were mocked by our friends or we felt sheepish about. Or, you know, guys, you know how guys are, man, especially when you're young. Excuse me, would the dog pound let out or something, man? What are you with that freaking barker for? And on it went. You know, why? Because of Hefner and his little paradigm. You're the guy, man. You think you made life better for the American man? You made it worse. You made it worse. You took the ability of most men to judge for themselves what is beautiful away from them. Or shall I say, we gave it over to you. You're going to tell me what good sex is? You? Who are you? So you're getting laid all the time. Good for you. As far as I'm concerned, it means you've probably got more of a chance of gonorrhea than any living man in the history of the world. You have probably got more different kinds of penicillin, oxicillin, tetracycline, and everything else in your medicine cabinet to go along with your Bengay and your nitrous oxide. You were terrible for the American man. You weren't any good for us. How many guys got laid the way you did, other than George Clooney or whoever your friends are? I was mocked for dating a brunette as a young man. You made my life hell. Why? Because you think blondes are all that. Well, blondes, they're okay. I married one, yeah. I'd rather shimmy up to the blowhole in your hot tub, Hefner. It's safer. Tell me what's beautiful or what's sexy. Every broad in your magazine's white. I know, every now and again you throw in, hey, what about the black chicks, huh? With those nice asses. What's up with you? Well, I got news for you. I happen to like black women, and they're big asses, and I never saw one in your magazine. And don't tell me, because you put some black chick in there who's built like freaking Barbie Benton, that you're being multicultural and multiracial, Jack. Any black chick you get in your magazine's built like a white chick. Flat ass. That's what you put in your magazine. Big boobs, flat ass. I got a big news flash for you. I don't particularly think that's attractive. What, does that make me queer? Because I ain't on with you? You old, old man. And I, you know what, I would compare, well, I'm not going to get down to that. I better not. But as far as, you know, whipping it out on the bar, any time, pal. Any time. Telling me what's sexy, what's good looking. The Playboy Advisor. Freaking joke. And now you got Playboy.com, your Playboy channel. I hear you're going into hardcore stuff, which is the smartest thing you could have done. Of course, that was a decision your daughter made. You didn't. Your daughter, Christy Hefner, she finally bought some hardcore porn that she's going to lay out there on a cable channel. That ought to be pretty good. She finally, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. If you can't beat it, join it. They got Playboy and XM radio, too. It's just nothing but, you know, panting and humping and just the sounds of squeaking. It's the Playboy channel. What, on the XM radio? You've got to be high. It's an additional feed. So it's additional fee, and you get Playboy on XM radio. Playboy radio. So you're going to be hearing guys, hi, I'm, we're going to have Chris Norton on there. Hi, I'm Chris Norton, and today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how I get more ass than you do. Hi, I'm Chris Norton, and my life's better than yours. Let me tell you how good I am. Let me tell you how good it could be for you if you were me. Okay, let's flip on to Playboy Channel now. What have they got on? Oh, that's great. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Wow, one of France's most celebrated chefs blew his brains out of his head when he found out that his restaurant didn't get the score it should have gotten in some magazine. All right. I know, that's... Now, that's cruel. That's cruel, what I just did there. That sucked. I got to take this whole thing again, but what good would it do me, you know? Let me just say again, one of France's most celebrated chefs has apparently committed suicide after his flagship restaurant was downgraded in a top restaurant guide. All right. No, I'm sorry. Bernard Loiseau was found dead at his country home, a hunting rifle by his side. That would be like, well, it'd be like me blowing my brains out if, you know, we like had bad ratings. If that's the case, I should have blown my brains out 90 times over. I should have been dead 10 years now. His death came a week after the renowned Galt Milieu restaurant guide cut its rating for his Côte d'Or restaurant in Burgundy. Now the critics themselves are facing the criticism. Oh, please. Yeah, they criticized the cat too much, so he shot himself. Maybe the guy had mental problems. Maybe he was emotionally unstable. Has anybody thought about that? You see, they were very hard on Bernard. They should all... Come on! The guy was nuts. The guy had an emotional problem. But this one guy says he thinks the magazine did it. Can you imagine that? He had a 19 out of 20 in the magazine, and then it came out it was a 17 out of 20, and he went home and... Now, this magazine is rigorous. It's Galt Malo. It's rigorously defended its decision to reduce the score given to his Cote d'Or restaurant from a 19 to 20 to a 17 to 20 and insists the chef had other problems. That'd be like a cat getting nominated for the Academy Award, like Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, and the winner is whoever the hell, you know, who's being, you know, Jack Nicholson for About Schmidt. And he just goes home and blasts away. A nickel-plated revolver. What if every single actor and actress that doesn't win the Academy Award goes home and just does the honorable thing? Why is that funny? I'm sure. And the winner is Jack Nicholson. That means Daniel Day-Lewis and all them other cats, Paul Newman, whoever the hell else, they go home and they do the honorable thing in their garage. You know, and the winner is Chris Cooper. And so all those, Christopher Walken, Riley, Newman, all those guys, they go home and... That's just, you know, just hear the muffled little gunshot down the street. What if they did it right there in their chairs at the Oscars? Ooh, man. You see it split screen? You know how they always show all their faces? They have them all, like six or seven faces up on the screen. And the winner is Jack Nicholson. And you see them all just put a freaking barrel in their mouths and... on the split screen. Phew, man. It's surprising it doesn't happen more often. I mean, it's such an ego-driven thing. But this guy was obsessed. Obviously, he had other problems, or maybe not. Maybe he was completely healthy. Maybe that's the honorable thing to do in France. Your restaurant gets downgraded, and next thing you know, down the street you hear, as you're taking your trash out, oh, I wonder if that was Chef Lasso. Hey, I read where his restaurant got downgraded. Hey, Bernard!
Yeah?
Your restaurant got downgraded there in Gate Malone. Excuse me for a minute. Oh, all right. And the winner is Nicole Kidman for The Hours. Thank you. You know, like the ones who don't show up? Like, who's the cat that doesn't show up every year? What is it, Woody Allen, because he's playing harmonica on a street somewhere? What is he doing? Yeah, Brando. Yeah, Sean Penn. He can't be bothered, right? Well, it would be great if they had a still photo. They've already got it ready to go because they know Penn ain't going to win. So they have a still photo of Penn with a barrel of a gun in his mouth. Oh, God. You know how they always show that, like, that picture of the guy? You know, there's four other people that have the common courtesy and decency to show up. You know, if you're going to work in the town... You gotta go, you know, when in Rome, do as the Rome. What do you think? You're a freaking artist? You live in Hollywood, you schmuck. What do you think you're doing? Go to the Academy Awards, sit in your chair, and if you don't win, do the honorable thing. That's the only we could hope that much for Sean Penn. Hey, Sean, you know, I Am Sam? Yeah. Sorry. Just go to the Academy Awards. Quit pretending like you're, you know, Ingmar Bergman or whoever that Swede was that doesn't show up every year because he sends out one of his actresses. You remember that?
Ingmar has sent me all the way from Norway. We want to thank you, but frankly, I don't want this thing either.
What I'd do if I was doing the Academy Awards, I swear to God, if I ever get the chance, which I will never get the chance, but I would do this. And the winner is... Paul Newman for Road to Perdition. I'm just kidding. It's John C. Reilly. And then Newman, you know, it would be great. 1-800-449-8686. Would that be on? I'm telling you, anybody who does that at the Academy Awards will get you a free Phil Henry Show CD if you'll say, the winner is Nicole Kidman. I'm only kidding. Meryl Streep. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure Exhibition.